There it is. Thank you. Grace and peace, guys. I missed last week as I was up at Fort Wilderness, which is a Christian adventure camp for a men's retreat. And we had about 200 guys there. And it was about trusting God in our brokenness. Last night, it's kind of a predecessor to this, I wasn't wearing my safari suit. And this is, today we're talking about Ruth's safari. And she's made it to Boaz land, not to be confused with Disneyland. And we saw the Hillsong movie, Let Hope Arise, last night. It's out at Marcus in Menominee Falls. And it was live yesterday, first day. And it is marvelous. Let Hope Arise. It is a documentary of the Hillsong Band. Now, some of you may not know the Hillsong Church and Band. You should. The Beatles are the only group that's ever sold more than they have. And they're nonprofit. They pay them $25,000 apiece, which is hardly enough to live on. Yeah. So. Today, I was looking at the words of Oceans, which is their biggest hit. And it's a story beautifully sung. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown where my feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in the ocean's deep. My faith will stand and I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves when the oceans rise. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Your grace abounds. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. You will be my guide. There are a few more words, but let me walk upon the waters. And Ruth, this is a story to some extent about Peter. Keep your eyes above the water. And Peter didn't. He looked at the water and went down. Jesus grabbed him. And Ruth, a woman of incredible faith, I mean, even not knowing the Lord, was able to reach out. And so today we get into this story, 2:8 through 22, that I'll entitle The Kinsman Redeemer. And as we look at Ruth and her story today, in this wonderful story, Boaz says to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in the other field, and don't go away from here. Stay with my other servant girl. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow the girls. And wherever you are, thirsty, go and get drink from the jars and be filled." And that theme kind of continues. It's about grace. Greg was talking about grace. Ruth is seeing grace extended by Yahweh. And it's a story about the grace of God to the Israelites, the grace of God to us. That's not universalism. That's the grace to those who would trust in Him, that would know Him. It's actually exclusivism. Those who would trust in Jesus Christ. God demonstrates His love in ordinary things, doesn't He? In this case, we see God in gleaning. This Ruth is out gleaning, picking up those things that weren't harvested, that were tossed aside. And Boaz had made sure that more was tossed aside for her intentionally. We know already in this book that Boaz represents something very special in this story. Ruth is a Moabite, as we know, a person of many gods, where she would have come from, a foreigner. But Boaz provides. We read, the Lord will be with you, blessing also with you. That's the kind of blessing and tradition and response we have today. Boaz gets actively involved. One of my questions is, how does Ruth respond? What does Ruth do to show her walk, her obedience? When you might ask in the other way, is this your tables? What does Boaz do? What is he demonstrating that might be bringing Boaz to see her and to reach out to her, even though she's a cousin? So he's actively involved. He notices the servant girl. Naomi, loyalty, leaving her country like Abraham, not knowing where she's going. Certainly Ruth sure didn't. Faith and sacrifice. Verse 7 tells us about, really about little rest, persistence. We look at, with her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. They kept going, and they got to Boaz's place. Grace, protection, abiding in the vine. Boaz told her, sit with the other women, drink, be filled. This is an image. We'll see more and more of an image of God here. And she, in gratitude, is prostrate in humility and thankfulness. Boaz notices, Boaz sees her sacrifice. In 11 and 12, we have a prayer. And this I'm in chapter 2. And we see, Boaz replied, I've been told all about you. You have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland, and they've come to live with a people you did not know. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. And it reminds us that those words of blessing that Boaz says to her, like Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And that's the 911 that we were hearing with 9/11 just last Saturday that was so frequently repeated and seems to have left our culture totally. Which reminds me, any of you heard of Eric Metaxas? Eric Metaxas wrote the biography of Bonhoeffer, but he's written a book that will be a classic, and it'll be on every shelf. And it is If You Can Keep It. And this is going just a tiny bit off course, but as Benjamin Franklin was coming out of Liberty Hall after documents were signed, the Constitution, a lady he knew said, Dr. Franklin, What do we have, a monarchy or a republic? And he said, Madam, a republic if you can keep it. And the book is about how we've lost it. And we have an opportunity. Jeremiah's writings this month are about that as well. So, if we rest in the shadow of the Almighty, if we abide, if we dwell, if we live in the shadow of the Almighty, as Ruth has been comforted, comfort my people, as Isaiah would tell us in the 40th chapter. Boaz is being like the Father of compassion and the Lord of all comfort that 2 Corinthians begins with, isn't he? There's a kindness here. He's living out the fruit of the Spirit. So if we begin to categorize some of these things we're seeing here, you're going to get a pretty whole view of something. He gives an invitation to eat bread and vinegar and wine. In the 14th verse, he says, "At mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come, come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine and vinegar.' They sat down, and they offered them roasted grain, and she ate all she wanted, and there was some left over." You've seen that some leftover story before. You could say that this is an image of communion, and you'd be right. It is that. He fed, he served her. There were leftovers. We think of the 12 bushels of feeding 5,000, abundance overflowing. Psalm 23, our cup overflows. We have the bread of life going on here, the grain and the bread. And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Abundant life is being shown here of John 10:10. And then we read in the 16th and the 17th verse, "Rather pull up some of the stalks for her," and this is to his men, "from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." He's taking care of her. He's making sure she has more. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and she threshed the barley and gathered, well, a lot, and carried it home. And Naomi was amazed. She was amazed. She was being taken care of. Special favor. God's intent is to bring favor to her, as Boaz is. And Ruth obeys and shows gratitude and praise. We read in Psalms 22:3 that God is in, or God inhabits, the praises of his people. God doesn't need to be praised, but we praise him because of who he is. And as we praise him, he is near. Those who call upon the Lord, the more we call upon him, the closer he becomes. So we read in the 19th verse, an important verse, "Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one whose place she had been working. 'The name of the man I work for is Boaz,' she said. 'The Lord bless him.' Naomi said to the daughter-in-law, 'He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead,' she added. 'That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers.'" And the kinsman redeemer thought here, which is the theme we have in the 19th verse, reminds me of, I think, Psalm 85. It says it again. It's about restoring us again. Love and forgiveness, I'm sorry, love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth. I have a big print on the wall with this psalm and these words. And we get from this perhaps lessons. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand, and in due time he will lift you up. Cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. We know that from 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Naomi said to Ruth, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls and Boaz to glean until barley and the wheat harvest was finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. That's just sort of an... she abided. She stayed. But she stayed because she knew that she had a kinsman redeemer. A cousin. Yes, it was part of his responsibility to take care of her, but it was much more than that. He was actively involved before he really knew who she was. He was kind. He was a protector. He was refuge in time of trouble. He is the rewarder of those who seek him, Hebrews 11:6 would tell us. So, he's a redeemer here. And as we look at this concept of kinsman redeemer today around our tables, we'll be asking ourselves, what is a kinsman redeemer? Who is a kinsman redeemer? And we have one named here in Boaz, but we also have this as a precursor of Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer. He is our defender. He is our advocate. And if we went way back to Leviticus 25, we would see this idea that relatives restore one another from slavery or from bondage or from difficult things. I don't know if Boaz was looking back at Leviticus when he decided to be a restorer and an advocate and a kinsman redeemer, one who took care, protected, delivered her, watched over her, but he did. And so he had concern for the poor, for the oppressed, for the lost, and for those who he saw clearly was grateful, didn't have an attitude, didn't expect that treatment, but she clearly appreciated it, kept working, and so we see a cycle. It doesn't always work this way in life, that if you work hard, if you're persistent, everything turns out perfectly, right? But God is working all things together for our good in his glory, and we know that. And so if we take a long view, absolutely, it's working out well. So as we get around our tables, enjoy talking about this concept. Maybe you have someone in your life, obviously Jesus, who can bring that or demonstrate that love to you, and how you might demonstrate your love to others through the example of Boaz. Okay, guys, thank you.